Take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. Luke, chapter number 24. I spent a couple of messages in Luke 22. Brother Steve, Sunday night not too long ago, was in Luke chapter 24. And I'm going there this morning. Something has caught my attention. Actually, it was early yesterday morning. I was meditating and praying on what God would have me to preach in that meeting, if I was called on. And sometimes you get a little inkling down on the inside that God's going to call on you to do something. I remember one time I was in Maryland. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. God gave me a message. I thought, Lord, I'm not preaching today. We're visiting the church. And anyway, I pinned down a few things. You say, why would you do that at 4 o'clock in the morning? Because at 6 o'clock in the morning, I don't remember what happened at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's why. Amen. But anyway, they asked me to give my testimony that morning. The only time in my life I've ever seen my wife's mother under Holy Ghost conviction. I gave my testimony, and the pastor said, Brother Vinoy don't know it, but he said, we're going to take up an offering, sing a song, and he's coming to preach. And I preached that morning. My wife's precious mother still not saved. Brother Don, she could not control. She wept uncontrollably. Couldn't even look at us as she left out of the service. Oh, I want to see her in heaven. You're here this morning lost. I want to see you in heaven. Honey, I don't need to remind you, do I? This could be the day when the Son of God steps out on that cloud and says, come up hither. What a blessing. What a blessing that's going to be. Normally I give you the title in the beginning of the message. I'm not going to do that for a while. I'm not doing that just to keep you in suspense, but you wouldn't understand the title right now. Let me get into the message and you'll understand a little bit later on. For right now, I want to dwell, starting in verse number 30. The Bible said, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, this takes place after the journey on the road to Emmaus, he took bread and he blessed it and brake and gave to them. I don't think it's any accident that in verse 31, after this happens, remember this, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Brother Larry, something familiar had happened. They had watched these hands break bread before. They had heard this voice bless the bread before. And the Word of God said he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. Now, if you will, drop down with me, please, in verse number 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then, look at verse 45, he opened their understanding. In the first verse that I read, in verse number 31, one of the two first verses that I read, their eyes were opened. A little bit later, their understanding is opened. And the Word of God said they understood the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands. We're going to say a lot about our Lord's hands this morning. And he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And the word of God said, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Pray with me a moment, would you please? Father, thank you this morning. For this book, thank you for this body of Christ that I have the privilege to stand before today. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of opening our Bibles and God, you speak into our hearts. Lord, without you, I'm nothing. Paul said, the chiefest of sinners, less than the least among the saints. But God, you can help us, and we need your help. Lord, we can be a better Christian. We can be a better dad, a better husband, a better papa, a better soul winner, a better pastor. But God, we can't do it without your help. Would you help us? Would you help every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this service today? God, I long to see all of our people back. I pray you'd work that out in the near future. God, will give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. The Word of God said in verse number 39, behold my hands and my feet. Jesus has opened the eyes of his disciples. And he wants them to see his hands. He wants them to see his feet. He wants them to understand, beloved, that there's a work to be done in the days ahead. I wonder this morning how many of God's people are genuinely involved in his work, sensitive to the Spirit of God. Friday night, there's a piece of paper on the nightstand. And it said that your room was cleaned and prepared by Nancy. And I know the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I didn't know who Nancy was. Nancy's from Mexico. I found that out Saturday morning, because I went through several ladies till I found Nancy. And I thanked her, Brother Steve, and gave her a real good tip. She told me she would look at the website and watch the video. And the tip was so good, I told her to share it with her buddy and get lunch together. Amen? You say, Pastor, are you bragging? No, actually, I'm broken. Because I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. I'm not as soul conscious as I used to be. I'm not as determined in the work of God as I used to be. I believe that your pastors, just like you are, there's a tendency, I think the Word of God said it like this, to settle down upon our lees, while the world goes to hell. around us. Brother Don, you're traveling now. I used to travel a lot. Not very many churches are trying to reach their community anymore. Listen to me. I'm not being critical this morning. Not very many of God's men are involved the way they used to be in trying to reach souls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let alone deacons. Let alone Sunday school teachers. Let alone just that church member or church attendee that comes and sits on the pews. You know what we need? We need God to open our eyes. You know what we need? We need God to open our understanding that we might understand that the greatest work in the whole wide world is the work that our Heavenly Father wants to do through us. We're looking at His hands. When I get down to the end of this message, we're going to look at our hands. Some of you know where God just took you, the Spirit of God just took you where we're going. But that's all right. If you'll stay with me this morning, I believe God will help us. I thought about the title for the message. I'll give it to you a little bit later on, but something here happened after Jesus took bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to them. The Word of God said their eyes were open. They're looking at hands. I thought of the song this morning, and I'm not being critical. The Bible talks about in the minor prophets, these are the wounds that I received in the house of my hands, in the house of my friends. The songwriter, I was thinking about the song, and I could only get a line or so out of it. Miss Eve will tell you, the only thing there that was made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, one of the reasons that you and I will fall at His feet, just like John did. I don't believe, listen, beloved, listen. Could you imagine hearing the Lord say, well done? Could you imagine seeing His hands and seeing His feet? Could it be, beloved, listen, that those scars are still there. There may still be marks from the crown of thorns. I don't know, but I know this. We're going to know Him. We're going to worship Him. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. I thought about those hands, and when they looked at those hands, these were the hands that worked in the carpenter's shop. These, beloved, were the hands that they had just seen restore the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. These were the hands that caused the blind to see. These were the hands that took the little children up in His arms. It said, suffer ye the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. These were the hands that cleansed the leper. These were the hands, beloved, that touched Peter's mother-in-law. Somebody said one time, I'm not just trying to be cute, but you know there is a religion that says that the man of God or the priest is not supposed to get married and they take after Peter. How in the world would you have a mother-in-law without a wife? Help me. These were the hands, beloved, that took that little maid by the hand and said, maid, arise. These were the hands, beloved, listen, that stretched forth towards the disciples. The Bible said He stretched forth His hands and said, behold my mother, behold my brethren. These were the hands that stretched out as Peter was sinking that day and cried out, Lord, save me. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad there's a hand that's still reaching down further than we can reach up? That night in February 1987, when I realized I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the water lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. That same hand that saved Peter saved me. These are the hand. You remember Jesus. They brought the woman. All I'm trying to get you to see, beloved, is these men had walked with Jesus. And Brother Larry, when he took that bread, and he went like that, oh, the Bible said their eyes were opened. They recognized those hands. And the Word of God's teaching us, beloved, that, listen, they brought that woman taken in adultery. The Word of God said the very act. That means the man should have been brought too. But he wasn't brought. And they said, what sayest thou? Moses and the law commands that we stone her. They remember that hand and that finger that got down and rode in the sand. And, beloved, our accusers left. One by one, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, I have none, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I'm just trying to get you to see. No wonder, Brother Gary. He takes that bread. You know what I believe? I believe there's some men saying, we've seen this before. And all of a sudden, the memories go to flooding and go to rushing back the time after time after time. These are the hands, beloved, listen, that held the reed as they pulled the crown of thorns down into his head. These are the hands that touched the deaf. These are the hands that healed the leper. These are the hands, beloved, the Word of God said, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. That's his hand. Oh, beloved friend, these are the hands. Listen to this. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them. Brother Don, right there is where I am. In his hand. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hands. Oh, beloved friend, this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, pick your chin up. Realize, listen, because of those hands that were pierced, those hands that were stretched out on an old rugged cross, beloved friend, listen to me. I am in his hand. They recognized his hand. Look at John chapter 20 for just a moment, would you please? John chapter 20 for just a moment. Let's begin reading in verse number 24. I'm just trying to set the stage for the message. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just trying to tell you that when they saw him break that bread, they recognized how long's it been. Oh, glory. Since you recognized the hand of God in your life. How long has it been? I shouldn't have to go back to February the 22nd, 1987. Yes, that's the day I was born again. But I ought to be able to see time and time and time again the hand of God at work in my life. Notice what the Word of God said. John chapter 20, Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands. Listen, I'm on to something here. Amen. God spoke to my heart about this. It's no accident, beloved, listen, that these hands take that bread and they break it, and all of a sudden their eyes are opened and they know him, and he vanished out of their sight. Watch this. Thomas wasn't there. He said, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's a bold statement. Thomas is as much as saying, I'm looking for something. If it's him, there's going to be some nail prints. If it's him, they took that sword and stuck it, that spear, and stuck it up under his rib cage. If it's him, he's going to have a place in his side where that blood and that water ran out. I ain't going to believe until I see. Notice what the Word of God said. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Boy, I like them three words, don't you? I went to church lost that night. I went to church. I wasn't interested in him. But then came Jesus. He was interested in me. The doors being shut, and he stood in the midst, and he said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. You say, Pastor, how did Jesus know what Thomas had said? Honey, I shouldn't have to answer that. He knows everything. He didn't only know what Thomas had said, he knew what Thomas was thinking. He knows what you're thinking this morning. Watch this. The Word of God said, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Oh boy, I just got something right there, Brother Steve. That's a big wound. I hadn't caught that, Brother Steve. He didn't say put your finger in that where the sword went in. He said stick your hand. Ain't that what it said? I hadn't caught that before. Put your hand in my side. Watch this. And the Word of God said, Thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I love this. It doesn't say that Thomas reached hither his finger or his hand. It doesn't say that he did. Maybe he did. Personally, I don't believe he had to. He heard his voice. Brother Gajo, he saw all the wounds. And he cried, My Lord and my God. There's a lot in that. It doesn't say this, but I'll tell you what's going on in Thomas's heart. I've messed up. I said I wouldn't believe until I see. I've messed up. Boys, y'all were right. He's alive. He's alive. And the Word of God said here, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, I believe this backs up what I just said, because thou hast seen me. He didn't say because you've touched me. He said because you've seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Sister Brenda, we ought to be the most blessed people in the whole world. We haven't seen, but we've believed. We're in his hand. He's got us. We're somebody. We're going somewhere. We're headed to the house of God. Amen. I'm talking about the big house. I'm talking about that place that God has prepared for those that love him. A place called heaven. I want to give you something this morning that I trust will be a blessing. I hope that I've been able for just a moment to get you to concentrate on his hand. that hand that broke that bread. Their eyes are opened and they know him. I want to go back, if we can, in Luke chapter 24 to the Word of God where it said that their understanding was opened. The Bible said here in verse number 44, he spake unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. And these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Brother Don, you've talked many times, and I admire you, about having all them books opened and the concordance opened and trying to study out of thought. That man of God has a special place in my heart. But some stand in pulpits, Brother Don, and all they ever get is what they get from somebody else. They've never even had their understanding open. They've never had God speak to them from the Word of God. You say, Pastor, why would you make a statement like that? I'll tell you why. Because the devil's got as many preachers in this country as God does. When it's not coming out of that book, beloved, it's not of God. They're Sunday school teachers. You listen to me. Listen to me carefully. I'm not being critical. If you teach a Sunday school class, there ought to be a longing in your heart, a longing in your heart to have the same God that speaks to your pastor speak to you out of the Word of God and give you something for your class. Mothers, you ought to be longing to have God speak to your heart and give you something for your children. Dads, you ought to have a longing in your heart that God would speak to your heart and help you to lead your family in the ways of God. What were they to understand? I'm going to give you three things quickly. Number one, the gospel message. We're living in an hour. I would dare say, listen, I'm not going to do it, but I would dare say, just box out everybody that's 12 years old and under that's in the building. I thank God for them. Just take them out of the test. Hand out a piece of paper. At the top of the paper, what is the gospel? I would dare say we would not get 100% in this congregation this morning. What is the gospel? Would you write down for me, what is the gospel? Most people say, well, the good news. I'm going to tell you something better than that. The gospel is the best news you'll ever hear in your life. It is good news. But it's the best news you'll ever hear in your life. The Bible said over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. There's people that think they're going to get to heaven, and they're going around the gospel. They think their church membership, or their giving, or their kindness, or raising their family, or being a good citizen, they think that's going to get them into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. You say, Pastor, where is that in the text? They understood the Scriptures. He opened their understanding. Look at verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day. Oh, listen, there's religions in the world that call on their followers to bleed for their God. But listen, our God bled for us. Suffered for us. It's not about, beloved, listen, our suffering. It's about His. The gospel. The gospel. The best news you'll ever hear in your life. I see a gospel message. God opened their understanding. You know what needs to be shared today? The gospel message. Brother John, I don't know how many times in 8 years, but several times. You've met me at that back door back there and said, Preacher, If that don't get it done, it'll never get done. And what he was saying is this, that book, that gospel message. Beloved, if you can get around the gospel message, you'll lift your eyes one day in hell. If you come to heaven, you'll come through the cross. You'll come through a Savior that loved you and gave Himself for you. I see the gospel message. I want to get to the title of the message now. In verse number 31, their eyes were opened. In verse 30, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke and he gave it to them. I'm not trying to be silly, but I want everybody in your mind for just a moment. Jesus is called many things. He's called the way, the truth, and the life. He's called the resurrection and the life. He's called the water of life. You remember those things, don't you? He's called, one of the things he's called is the bread of life. Is that right? So he's taken bread. You remember when we've been in Luke chapter 22 in the upper room. With desire have I desired to eat the Passover with you. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I believe that when Jesus opens their eyes, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me a few minutes. The Spirit of God is saying to you and I, and I believe the Spirit of God is saying to them, but wait, there's more. If I was going to title this message, I would title it, but wait, there's more. You say, Pastor, where are you getting that thought from? Here's where I'm getting it from. They had seen the Lord feed 5,000. They had seen those hands take bread and break it. And every time he went like that, Brother Don, there was more. They had seen the Lord feed the 4,000. Do you remember that? Every time he went like that, there was more. You say, Pastor, I believe it's a stretch to think that God would take the bread, that he would break it like that, and all of a sudden their eyes are open. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Listen to what I'm about to say. In the rest of the chapter, listen, I'm not talking about more bread, but wait, there's more. There's more than just the pulpit. There's more than just the pew. There's more than just prayer. There's more than just the Word of God. How many's with me so far? Beloved, I'm telling you, how many believes? Listen to me. Listen, Brother David, your daddy went to heaven not too many years ago. My daddy went to heaven. Can you still remember, Brother David, some of the last words that your daddy whispered to you? We're looking at the last words of Jesus before he ascends into heaven. But wait, there's more. He's talking about the gospel. I studied this out. This is amazing to me. I'm not going to take the time to turn to all the texts. But in John chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Watch this now. Everybody's full. Y'all believe that? I believe they're full. I believe a little boy had his lunch, brought his lunch that day. I believe he's full. I believe he ate more than what was in his lunch. He got full. Brother Larry used to. I love them all you can eat. Buffets. Paul said, buffet your body. I mean, I think it's Buffett. But anyway, I love them. I can't get my money's worth anymore, Brother Don. I'm old. I can't eat like I used to. I'm serious. I ate one good plate and I'm full. Now, I enjoy taking some young man with me. Somebody built about like Luke. Got two holler legs. Just stand up and go like that and get another plate and go like that and get another plate. I like watching somebody get their money's worth. I'm going to tell you something right now. God's people, if we'll get a hold of what God's trying to say to us this morning, Brother Thurman, we'll stop being cheated. We're letting the world and the flesh and the devil cheat us out of the more that God wants to involve in our lives. There's more than just a Sunday school class. There's more than just singing a song. There's more than just children's church. It's going out into a lost and dying world. And God using you and I with that gospel message. A couple of things real quickly. This blew my mind. I'm sure other men have known it for years, but I haven't known it but since last night. Brother Steve, 5,000, how many baskets were left? You remember? 12. The audience was predominantly Jewish. 12 tribes of Israel. And the Word of God, if you look it up, I got the Greek word written down up there, but I'm not much on English, let alone Greek. But if you look up the Greek word, it's 12 little baskets. That's the word that's used for basket. 12 little baskets. Where were they when Jesus fed the 4,000? They were in Decapolis. It was predominantly Gentile. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 1, you remember when God let the children of Israel go in and take the land, there were 7 Gentile nations that were conquered. The Greek word, Brother Steve, that's used for basket, how many baskets? Anybody know how many baskets were taken up? I done give it away. How many in that when they fed the 4,000? Anybody know? 7. You know what the modernists would do? They would say, well, there's a discrepancy in the Bible. Hogwash. 7. The word, the Greek word that's used for basket doesn't mean little basket, Brother Larry. It means hamper. How many knows there's a difference between a hamper and a little basket? Y'all reckon God knew that there'd be a lot more Gentiles in the world than there would be Jews? Do y'all reckon God wants us to know that there's enough bread when we look at those hands to satisfy the Jew and the Gentile? But wait, there's more. I like doing stuff like this because next time you see that stupid commercial, whatever it is they're advertising, but wait! There's more. Maybe the Holy Ghost will get a hold of your heart. And you'll realize there's more than just church attendance. There's more than just reading your Bible. Brother Grizzle, this is my honest heart. There's more than just missions. There's people lost across the street just like there is across the sea. Missions is wonderful. The Bible's wonderful. Prayer is wonderful. Attending the house of God is wonderful. Singing the songs of God, Zion is wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If you've never had the privilege to share the gospel with an individual, that ought to bother you. That ought to burden you. You've got people you work with that are lost. You've got neighbors that are lost. You're going to talk to somebody at the gas station that's lost. You're going to talk to somebody at Walmart that's lost. It's quiet, but that's okay. You don't sow the seed when the winds are blowing anyway. If I was going to sow grass, I wouldn't wait on a 50-mile-an-hour wind to sow it. I'd be sowing it on my neighbor's property. We're not accountable for the neighbor's church. We're accountable for this one. They saw those hands, Brother Steve, and their eyes were opened. They'd seen those hands do that before. Now the Word of God said their understanding is open. They understood the gospel message. Secondly, they understood the gospel mandate. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look in verse number 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Brother Don, I never thought I'd see a day that Baptists, I'm talking about independent Baptists sometimes, are arguing over whether repentance is necessary for salvation. I'm going to take Jesus' word for it. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The gospel mandate, beloved, listen, it's not just some lovey-dovey God that died for you on a cross. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost that said, you must turn from your sin. Turn to the Savior. I'll tell you what I used to tell them in prison. If you don't want a change in your life, sit still. When you get tired of sin, you get tired of the guilt, you get tired of the shame, you can come to Jesus. He'll change your life. There's a gospel message. There's a gospel mandate. The Bible said, let me read it. Go with me to Matthew quickly. I'm going to read it. We're almost done. We're almost finished. Brother Larry, Miss Eve really liked that when you picked on her. I hate skinny preachers, singing preachers, and English teachers. Amen. Chapter 3, the book of Matthew. Look at verse 2. Well, let me read verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at verse 12. Let me read verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and garner his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's a gospel message. There's a gospel mandate. You must repent or you'll perish. It's a fearful thing, the Bible said, to fall into the hands of a living God. One more thing. But wait, there's more. There's more than just the hands that are breaking the bread. More than just the voice that's blessing the bread. He comes back now, and not only are their eyes opened, but their understanding's opened. They understand the gospel message. They understand the gospel mandate. Now, we've said everything we said to get right here. Now they're going to understand the gospel messenger. You see, preacher, what do you mean? Notice what verse number 48 says. And does that couple it up? Does that couple it up, Brother Steve? Does that couple it with those other two verses? It does, don't it? And your witnesses. Now, you can't do it by yourself. That's why Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. You say, Pastor, how long am I supposed to wait? Are you saved? How many saved? Heaven bound. I said, how many are saved by the grace of God? You know what you got when you got saved? You got the Holy Ghost. Ask the woman at the well how long she waited. She went back. She didn't have a course in soul winning. She didn't know a verse of Scripture. She just knew she had met Jesus. She said, come see a man told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We're missing it. You say, Pastor, well, I full well know that God wants my pastor to be a gospel messenger. You're missing the message. God wants every one of us, Brother Steve. Miss Cindy, Miss Eve, Miss Jennifer, Miss Amanda, Miss Laura. God wants every one of us to be a witness to what God has done in our heart and in our life. What if I stood you preachers up here this morning, me included, and said, how many people this week did you speak to about their soul? What if I went from the preachers to the deacons and said, bring my four deacons, good men, godly men. We have an honorary deacon too. He gave up on pastor and quit on me, but anyway, we're still going to honor him. Amen. We're not mad at him. That's Brother Lowell. Brought the deacons up and asked how many. What we ought to do first, listen, in fairness, how many people did you encounter last week? And then how many people did you speak to about their soul last week? How many of them did you share a little card or a gospel tract or an invitation? What if we went down to the Sunday school teachers then? And what if we went down to the choir members? What if we went on down to the children's church workers? I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen. Pastors, yours included, have just about given up on this message. We're so discouraged. We've just about given up, Brother Larry, on this message. But God opened their eyes when they saw those hands. God opened their understanding that they could understand the gospel message. They could understand the gospel mandate. That they could understand the gospel messenger. The Word of God said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. This world's not our home. We're representing another country. A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I've often thought, Brother Don, what it would be like to work at the Walmart. Be running a cash register. And two or three people from the same church in 1 week invite that person to church or speak to that person about their soul or share a gospel tract with that person. Say, I care about you. I'm going to heaven. I want you to go with me. What would that? How many believes that would weigh heavy on your mind when you lay down at night? Like, God, what are you trying to do? I'll tell you, there's a couple of things going on. Sometimes our eyes are just not open. Sometimes our understanding's just not open. And this is probably where we're more guilty than anything. Brother Mitchell used to say, we're a victim of the times. Here we are. Point A, point B, and we forgot. There's a blessing, Brother Preston, between point A and point B. Brother Logan, we're just running wide open to get over to point B so we can go to point C, so we can go to point D, so we can get home and eat dinner and do it again the next day. Am I right or am I wrong? Turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Ezekiel. I'm done. I don't preach just to be preaching. If you cannot sense that I came to this pulpit with a heart that is so full, then you don't know me. I'm not standing up here just to hear myself talk. God is trying to speak to our hearts. Brother Don, as God opens up the churches, you're going to be traveling more and more and more. There are going to be opportunities between here and West Virginia. I'll never forget the first time I preached in West Virginia. It was in a camp meeting. I got up and told the preachers, I said, I'm trying to figure out something. What is it? I said, I'm trying to figure out if you all are Jews or Baptists. You can use that, Brother Don. I said, what made me think you were... You'll like this, Brother Thurman. You're up in West Virginia a lot. I said, what made me think you were Jews as you were dwelling in booths? Y'all got it yet? Interstate 77? I said, what made me think you were Baptist? You were taking up an offering every 30 miles. They liked that. Even that lady that's taking up the offering, a gospel tract, a kind word. You can't do it if there's 10 tractor and trailer's behind you. It can't take much time. But we can take time to be holy. Listen to what the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel. Go there with me, please. Ezekiel chapter number 3. Ezekiel chapter number 3. I'm going to read this, and then Miss Tanita, whoever, are you doing the song of invitation? Okay, you and Laura? That's good. In Ezekiel chapter 3, how many's there? Say amen. Verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at their hand, at thine hand. Watch this. How many enjoyed that part of the message when we was looking at his hands? All the things that he's done, he's broke the bread of life. What if, Brother Steve, we looked at our hands this morning? What if we saw blood? You say, Pastor, you're stretching the Word of God. Am I really? You say, Pastor, that's talking about Israel. That's talking about, listen to me. How much more do you and I, or is required of you and I? We have the entire Bible. We have the Holy Ghost, not just bouncing in and out of us, coming upon us to do a job and then leaving, but He dwells with us. He sealed us till the day of redemption. The Bible said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. I don't know about you, but I don't take kindly to the Holy Ghost having to say to me, shame on you, preacher. Shame on you. And yet He has had to say it over and over and over, because I was too busy, because I was not sensitive, I was not even prepared. Listen to me, okay? Y'all think I was bragging a while ago about Saturday morning. Asked Miss Eve. I said to her, honey, you got any of the C-52 cards? You want to know why I had to say that to her? Because I wasn't prepared. She went to looking. She didn't have them either. We had gospel tracts, God's simple plan of salvation. But Brother Don, we had to look for them. Is anybody with me this morning? You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, Brother John, there was a day in my life I would not have to wonder where that gospel tract was. I would not have to wonder where that C-52 card was. I was ready at all times. Have y'all picked up on this yet? I'm preaching to me, just letting y'all get in on it. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher trying to feed his people something that he ain't willing to eat himself. The Word of God said here, I'll require, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You come to this church, you hear the gospel, you die without God and you go to hell, my hands are clean. It's on your own head. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's more to the gospel than just the pulpit and just church. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 33. Or chapter 33 rather. Turn there with me. The Bible said, and again the word of the Lord came unto me saying, let me tell you something. God can say something once and that's enough. Say amen. Ezekiel said, Brother Larry, again, the word of the Lord. It's almost like he's saying, Ezekiel, I want to make sure you get this. I want to make sure that my people get this. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when they see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come, take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. God just spoke to my heart. One of the things that Jesus told his disciples, listen to me carefully. How many of you all, in some form or another, fight a battle with temptation? Please help me. Raise your hand. Help me. I'm going to tell you what will help in that battle. Jesus said, watch and pray. I can think back over my life, and when I was actively doing what God wanted me to do concerning the souls of men, the temptation. You don't have time for temptation. You're ready to give an answer to every man for the hope that lieth in you. The Word of God said here, watch it. But if so, thou, O Son of Man, I set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now watch this. You say, Pastor, you talked about the Bible. There's more. That's right. We're supposed to get in the book and then go out and sound the warning. We're not supposed to skip the book and then go try to sound the warning. The Word of God said, I say here, I set thee a watchman. You shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand. I remind you, this is Ezekiel he's talking to. A man of God. A prophet of God. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way, turn from it. If he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, thus Son of Man, speaking to the house of Israel, thus shall you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'm going to tell you something right now. We got some wicked people in Washington, D.C. But I serve a God that has no pleasure in the death of any of them. He died for every one of them. It might come as a shock to some of them, but it ain't going to matter if there's a D or an I or an R beside of their name when they get there. What's going to matter is whether or not their name is written in the book of life. Jesus, he said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, turn ye. You know what you could say right there? Repent. Means the same thing. Turn ye from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Sister, come on. John Dockery? I can do better. John, I want to do better. You say, Pastor, I hope you don't go away to none of them good meetings no more. Honey, God met with me before I ever got to that meeting. You tell me this. When's the last time you even heard a message that resembled what you've heard this morning? Honey, like it or not, you and I have a responsibility. Brother Gary Joe, he called me one day, burdened for his buddy, hooked on drugs. He overdosed and died. But Gary, there's another one. That one wasn't turned, but there's another one somewhere. Don't give up just because that one wouldn't turn. Sometimes it's easier to reach that guy that's hooked on drugs than it is that guy that lives on the hill in a fine house. But they're both lost. And they both need Jesus. Father in heaven, I can't do what needs to be done. I can stand here and thank you for what you've done in my heart. And I can beg you that it would bleed over into the hearts of my people. God, if we want to see an old-time revival, we want to see sinners walking the aisle, we need to realize it ain't their fault. It's ours. If we want to see our nation, Lord, you said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We want to see our nation turn. God, we're going to have to turn first. Lord, would you forgive us? Would you help us? God, I'll go home after a while, and I pretty well know who's going to show up. He'll say something like, another wasted sermon. But God, if just one person, Lord, it could be somebody saved for years. It could be somebody just been saved for months. But if just one person would allow the Spirit of God to do the work in their heart that you've done in mine, it would be worth it all. You talk about a Sunday school class. You talk about a children's church. You talk about a choir. You talk about a church that's filled with rejoicing. Lord, we must get about your business. Help us, we pray.